The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, welcome to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I am Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How we doing today, Big JD?
Whoa.
We're all good.
I'm good. I'm suppressing
myself.
Are you? That's suppressment?
Yes, normally the windows would be shaking.
the glass would be cracking.
No, I don't talk that high. But we have a band today that the dude could probably break glass.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. Crystal glasses, as it were.
The band fits into the show how?
Because this week's show topic is Christian music. It was a last-minute change. I think at the end of last week's show, we said we were going to do children's music.
Yes, we did. And I want to say, though, at some point, I don't know if I mentioned it in the show, actually, or I just told you privately, that we would do a Christian-related show. Did I tell you that at all? Yeah, I think I sent you something. Yeah. I sent you something before I talked to an artist that I had interviewed, actually, for the show, so...
Very good.
We have an interview with the IOG, who's a Christian rapper from Detroit, coming up on the show later.
What does IOG stand for?
Instrument of God.
Awesome.
The instrument of God.
Aren't we all instruments of God?
I don't know. Are we?
I don't know.
It all depends on what you believe, I guess.
It all depends on which God you...
If you don't believe in God, then you wouldn't be an instrument of God.
Right.
But...
That's absolutely correct. I think,
Are we talking about atheism on the show today too, or no?
atheist music. I'm
black metal.
I bet you there is a metal band out there that,
there's all kinds of that. Venom and,
they talk about atheism or just the lack of, atheism, religion.
Satan.
Oh, that's a different thing altogether. Being an atheist has had nothing to do with being a Satanist.
Right, because you don't believe in anything, right?
Right. If you're a Satanist, you think Satan is the guy. He's the man or the woman.
Right.
Or the
sometimes people talk about God as, you know, is God a man or God a woman? Or a woman will say, well, God could have been a woman or whatever. But nobody ever says that about the devil, about Satan. Oh, he might be a woman. Satan may be a female.
That's absolutely correct. Odds are high that she is.
That she is what?
That the devil is a woman.
That's the name of our new band. The devil is a woman.
Devil is a woman. Devil Got My Woman is a Grady tune from a few years back.
The devil wears Prada. I know that.
And that is a designer brand.
Devil is a designer brand?
No, Prada. Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah. I have some sweet Prada shades.
Prada shades.
I'll wear them one morning. You're like snapping pictures and stuff.
Well, I was just digging your new do you got going on there. It's trimmed down a little bit.
It is, yeah. The mohawk's actually trimmed more than usual.
Was that a mistake? Like, you went, whoops?
No, I wanted to, I was thinking of shaving it right off. And I thought, I don't want to shave it right off. So I'm going to use the next thing down that I would use on like trimming my goatee or something. So right. I use that. And it's actually the next, like, I mean, I just shaved again, like, you know, razor shave on the sides.
Right.
And left. So it's just a tad longer than what it's been, but it was pretty short. Like, you could see it, you know what I mean? But yeah. It was like, you know.
Like a couple day old.
Yeah, a few days and it all kind of would look the same, sort of.
Sure.
So short, but yeah, something new, you know.
Something blue. Oh, no, you've done blue already. Something new, something blue, something borrowed, something blue. That's what it is.
What?
Something old.
That's all wrong.
No?
Something
old, something new, something borrowed, something blue.
Okay, yeah. And what is that? That's a wedding thing, isn't it?
That's the four things you're supposed to get before you get married.
Right.
Supposed to acquire that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you did. Or Lana did.
I don't know.
Like, it's important.
I got the blues. Does that count?
No, I don't know. And what does that do? Does that guarantee you your marriage stays together forever?
I don't know what it does exactly. You think I would?
You,
both of us should probably, but
we didn't do a Jabbercast on that. What does something borrowed something?
Yeah, we never did do that, or used it as a quote and quip.
We didn't?
No. You see, the Jabbercast.com is taken now?
Yeah. Who took it again?
Somebody in Japan or China or something.
Oh, it's Asian writing, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Hey, muffins are done.
You were cooking muffins, were you? Was that a timer of some kind?
It was. I thought, was assuming it was you.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, I don't have anything like that, I don't think.
I wish muffins were done. I'd eat them right now.
You don't bake muffins?
Occasionally.
We just made
My grandfather was a baker.
Was he?
Yep. Modern Bakery for the Purple Gang.
And was he Jewish?
Or the mob here or something. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love the Jewish deli guys and the Jewish bakery guys.
And the Jewish mafia guys.
Eh, not so much. But it was all mixed
up. Malik's. You ever go to Malik's Deli?
That sounds familiar.
It's an old Jewish thing across from where Modern Bakery was, by between Glengarry and Aylmer.
And is it around still?
Oh, yeah. Malik's, yeah.
You want to go for a pastrami sandwich after?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Either that or burger.
Mamo Burger or Malik's.
No, Modo Burger. Oh, yeah.
Mamo.
Mamo, yeah. Is Modo still around?
I think so.
On here, yeah. Couldn't hear over the truck. We're back.
And we're back.
So what's going on, Lippo?
Joni Mitchell, hospitalized.
Well, that's not Christian.
No, it's not Christian at all.
Non-Christian news in the morning show.
I'm trying to remember what she had. She has a disease that affects your, I guess she had polio when she was a kid.
Oh, really? Yeah. Get that from Dirty Water. I love that Dirty Water. That was a cool tune. Oh, Detroit, you're my home. Romantics?
No, that's the Rockets.
Was it? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. Romantics are more pop music.
Yeah, yeah. What's that big hit
what,
they had?
What I Like About You?
What I Like About You. Yeah, cool. I digress. Okay, so Joni Mitchell.
I was just thinking
polio. Or she played polio. Not with the sticks.
No, I don't think so.
Sound like Facebook.
Oh, I thought you had some
message.
Kind of, yeah, I thought you had a message.
Or a massage.
She's 71 and she was hospitalized. And
what? Joni Mitchell, 71?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, she was.
Whatever. I don't believe you, but. No, I'm just kidding.
And
never
she
believe
suffers.
The news you hear on the morning show.
Yeah. Facts. Who cares about facts? She now has a disease called Morgellons.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've heard
the name, but I don't know what it is. What is it?
She says that her skin feels like it's erupting from underneath, infested by insects, worms, or mysterious fibers.
Okay. Well, I don't know how hungry I am now, but...
No, you're not hungry. We're not going to Mamo Burger now. Sufferers of this disease, like Mitchell, say their symptoms are debilitating to the point the lesions won't heal, and say that biting and stinging that afflicts them every day leaves them fatigued and depressed and even affecting their memory. So...
Wow. Sucks.
And from what I gathered from a couple articles that I looked at, that doctors are not really sure what this is all about or what they can do to actually treat it. So mm-hmm. people who have it are kind of suffering with it indefinitely.
Wow.
So I think they just try to treat symptoms, and even that isn't working very well for a lot of people.
Set ant traps.
And put them on your skin.
In case there are bugs under you.
Que sera,
imagine that. Sera. Imagine if, like, you went to the washroom and took a dump, and there was like some kind of worms in there.
No, I don't want to imagine that at all. But I know the feeling though, because I felt just reading that makes me think of a feeling that I had behind my legs, and that's exactly what it felt like. It felt like there was a spider had burrowed an egg in there, and they were all hatching in my leg.
Now?
It's last week or so.
Well, what is that? There's something moving in there.
You got a piece of news you're itching to tell the listeners about, JD.
Yeah, I got all kinds of headlines here for you.
And now for that section of the show we call JD's Headlines.
Aerosmith's Steven Tyler confirms solo album plans.
Country.
What?
I heard it was country.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. Don't go into the story.
Well, he made an appearance.
It's only headlines.
He made an appearance at the Grand Ole Opry on the 31st and confirmed some major news. He'd be releasing a solo country album.
So, bam! Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. He's going to dabble
in... country album.
Yeah, why not?
Country's huge. That's going to be interesting. Whatever he does is cool. He's got a very unique voice and whatever. Remember when he did sang for the national anthem or whatever, the football, baseball thing, whatever? Mm-hmm. A lot of people had stuff to say, oh, he's this, he's that. I thought it was great, man. It was awesome.
I thought it was really good myself.
You know what I just heard? I don't know if you've ever heard this, but on YouTube you can find
David I love the Lee crunch Roth. In my French press.
Yeah, chewable bottom.
Chewable bottom of that coffee. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Chewable bottoms. David Lee Roth singing Running with the Devil with no music, like studio from way back.
I heard that, yeah.
I loved it.
But I have a piece of news that isn't so good.
Okay. Oh. John Lennon's first wife, Cynthia Lennon, dead at 75.
75, yeah.
Short battle with cancer.
Right. I guess her and Yoko were buddies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What kind of buddies?
Well, no.
Lynyrd Skynyrd to release All-Star Concert on CD and DVD and... performances by Lynyrd Skynyrd along with special guests Trace Adkins, Alabama, Greg Allman, Blackberry Smoke, Cheap Trick, Charlie Daniels, Peter Frampton, Government Mule, Warren Haynes, John Hyatt, Randy Houser, not to be confused with Doogie, and others, including Donnie Van Zant, which I don't know much about Donnie Van Zant, but there must have been a lot of Van Zants popping up over the years.
Ronnie, Johnny, and there's probably another brother called Lonnie.
I don't know. Ace Frehley wants Gene Simmons on All-Star Covers album.
Awesome.
Kind of neat. Doing some Kiss cover tunes. What else can I get in here real quick? Anthrax returning to their thrash roots. What?
Skynyrd was just in town the other night.
Oh, they were?
Yes, they were. My son went and saw them as well as
that's cool.
A whole bunch of other friends.
The new stuff's great. Their last album was fantastic.
I don't know if they played any of that stuff.
It's really, really good.
Awesome.
I can let you hear it, but of course you have to buy it after.
Yeah, I have to buy it.
Off of me.
How much? 99 cents a song?
I'm scalping their... I should put up a site for people to buy music.
You'll make billions!
Wake up the
neighbors.
Rest of the
anyway, we're talking about David Lee Roth. And he was... Van Halen's embarking on a tour, and I think I'm going to bang into the stinger right now.
What are you calling me, a bee?
Yes. It's a spelling bee. Yes, David Lee Roth. He and the rest of the band, including Wolfgang on bass, they're embarking on a tour.
Right.
And to kick the tour off, they closed down Hollywood Boulevard in Los Angeles. And they Van Halen played a concert there, and Jimmy Fallon incorporated the performances into the show. I think they did one song per night kind of thing. So they made it like two nights on Jimmy Fallon. Anyway, at the beginning of Panem, at the very beginning, David Lee Roth is swinging the bass of a mic stand.
Mm-hmm.
Like a baton.
And what happened?
Got his nose.
Oh, himself?
Yeah, got himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's bleeding from his nose. He had to stop. Like there's, you know, tens of thousands of people on Hollywood.
Wow.
Los Angeles. Yeah. And he's doing the thing. And okay, sorry. We got to stop. I'm bleeding all over the place. We're taping this so I can do this again. And sure enough, when he redid the song, he did it the exact same thing, but he did it far away from his face. But he had a bandage on his nose. It was hilarious.
Not the first time he was bandaged up in pictures and stuff. Second album has his, he's got a big cast on his leg in the actual pictures.
Yeah.
But
he sucked. The band was awesome.
Yeah, he's not what he used to be, for sure. But
I can sing better than him, and I don't sing very good. He was more like a Leonard Cohen kind of talking the lyrics.
Yeah,
then when it came time for the chorus, everybody!
What's up? Yeah, have the audience do it.
Yeah, have the audience do it, yeah. So it was bad.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
All right, we're back. We're talking about Christian music on the show today. So.
Because
why?
It's Passover and Easter,
right? Yeah. Passover, nice. Should have had some Passover music on. I thought you were going to bring your hoopla on.
That's for the Klezmer show.
Oh, yeah. The what?
Klezmer music.
It's not just a klezmer music, is it?
No, show? Klezmer is a type of music.
Yeah, but why just klezmer music?
Because it's a genre of music into itself.
Okay. There's that much to talk about? Klezmerians and their music?
Well, there'll be the history. There is the fact that you should know some klezmer
music.
Can't
wait to do some research.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Oh, that's what something we could do is YouTube phenomena.
Music thing.
Music related. You know what I mean? Like people that got their...
The number one way that... Most
that
people
Anthony was, guy or something that was through, wasn't that through a news piece too at one time? And then ain't nobody got time for that. Somebody made it into a rap song and it was a news piece, all that kind of stuff. And, I think there was that, that guy that, I don't know, I don't know what I'm thinking. Something to do with like I want to say a big piano thing or something, or is it a, dances around some music related thing anyways, but something like that. That's a thought.
That's all it was, people. You just were listening to thoughts.
Yeah, they're really bad ones.
Look at he's thinking.
Mom, is he thinking? Soaked is what I am.
You're soaked.
I'm soaked. I'm soaked wet, man. Soaked.
It's
I'm like drenched.
Drinking.
It's like it's the coffee and everything. And
I can't wear pants.
I had some extra strength Excedrin before too, and it's like floated with caffeine. Good thing I didn't have any of those crazy fat burners.
Oh, I gotta love the pseudoephedrine. Yeah.
So Christian music is music that has been written to express either personal or communal belief regarding Christian life and faith. So common themes of Christian music include praise, worship, penitence, and lament.
Very nice. That's what's the name of the band? I forget.
Bob the Lament.
Moody Blues has a song called "Lover's Lament."
Okay.
Yeah.
Who does?
Moody Blues, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
That's coming to my head. Anyway,
the name sounds familiar.
It's not Christian music, so and we're talking about Christian music because why again? Oh, Easter. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's Easter.
It would hold it. And
we'll talk a little bit about spiritual music and, you know, how does that fit in? Some people kind of think that there is to some degree, I suppose, a relationship or they term Christian music as spiritual music or religious music.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
different
exactly.
terms. And then there's New Age music, which sometimes get kind of lumped into there sometimes. New Age music.
Yeah.
It's got the, it's because of the kind of music, I guess, you know what I mean? Or the feeling and the, you know,
makes it
kind of feel good or uplifting type stuff. And there's gospel and there's all kinds of music that's related.
Oh, absolutely. Tons of gospel. We were going to talk about drum circles during some show. Remember? What was that about? Did we ever talk about drum circles?
I know lots of drum circle people too.
But before we talk about drum circles, we're going to be listening to...
This is actually Mask of the Great Deceiver. Kerry Livgren was from the band Kansas. He then went on to become a Christian artist. And this is a song from Seeds of Change album from the 80s. And this particular song, actually two songs on his album, had Ronnie James Dio singing on them.
Awesome.
Which was kind of interesting because, you know, Dio was associated with Black Sabbath at that time doing...
Right.
What was the first album
Heaven
he was
Hell?
On? Heaven and Hell, yeah. So. We'll be right back.
was never complete. And though he promises all war, you lie a slave at his feet.
Great Deceiver. Dio with Carrie Livgren. He did two songs on there. The other one was called To Live for the King. Really cool. Like a more mellower type tune.
Sure.
Long, too. Like 5 minutes and something, which is cool. And this one is fairly lengthy, too, which is nice. The more Dio, the better.
The more Dio, the better, yeah. Spread the Dio.
Dio did a song, and I think I have a demo of it somewhere, called God Doesn't Like Heavy Metal.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I was going to play that on the show, but this was cool.
Yeah, that fit in perfectly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was bummed when Carrie Livgren left Kansas. I was a huge Kansas fan when I was a kid, for sure. And
that particular album that he put out, that first one, was great.
It was the first
good rock, but Christian.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Which doesn't matter to me if it sounds cool.
For sure, yeah. I'm trying to think of the other guy who was in Kansas that was the other singer dude. Keyboard guy.
Wasn't he the one that was keyboard? Primarily.
No.
No?
Carrie Livgren played guitar.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he was the keyboard.
No, the other dude,
guy.
Steve.
Oh, Howe? No.
No.
Who's Steve Howe?
Steve Howe's the guitar for Yes.
Oh, right, right.
But anyway, very tightly related to that last song is this tune we're going to hear here. It's called Computer God. Not necessarily yes. Christian, but
nope.
It has something to do with God and all the powers that be and stuff like that. This is Computer God from Black Sabbath off of their Dehumanizer album.
Sigh!
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
All right, time for Tech Talk.
Well, we're just talking during that song there that I am reading the new bio for Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
He had
and who wrote that?
I'm sorry?
Who wrote it?
The official one was by Walter Isaacson. So Steve Jobs allowed him to be interviewed several times.
This new one?
No. I'm just letting you know that there is an official biographer for Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like Steve Jobs knew he was having a biographer written about him because he knew he
was
dying.
Which was the other one that came out, yeah.
Yeah. So everybody thought this was going to be the definitive bio, but it wasn't. Not at all. A lot of people were disappointed with it, especially people within the organization of Apple, which is in the book mostly. So there were a lot of people were disappointed, a lot of tech journalists and his family even said, you know, it didn't really do it. It's not what Steve Jobs would like to say. This is his biography kind of thing. So what is this guy's name? Tetzlinski.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'll get to his name, but it's actually co-written, but it's written in the first person, of the viewpoint of this reporter who worked for, Wall Street Journal and Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And why a new one? Because people just felt that what the Walter Isaacson one just missed so much stuff. And it didn't really cover a lot of things that it should have.
Not misrepresented in any way, just missing a lot of things that should have been in there. And why would they be missing? Steve is the one that's...
Yeah, I think that's what...
He's the real dude that wrote it.
Exactly. So maybe Steve wasn't... Like I say, a lot of the perspective is on Apple's point of view. So there's a lot of key players in that whole story that if they had their story told, it would give more of a fuller
right. So
picture.
That's what happened this time? Or you don't know yet?
I'm up to the point where we're still talking about his comeback. So
okay,
a lot of those details are still there. What is good about this version is it doesn't get so heavy into specific stories, like how the CD-ROM in the iMac was a tray or a slot one.
Right, right, yeah,
He went on for like half a chapter just in that one thing alone. It's like, oh my God, drop this already. I'm ready to skip ahead almost.
How important the accomplishments were and how they worked.
So Steve was probably telling him all the details of that whole story.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was thankfully, you know, skipped over. It might have been mentioned or something like that. But so I'll let you know. I'll give you a synopsis later on. So that's why there's another Steve Jobs bio. And there's still the movie to come out, the real movie as well. Alan Sorkin.
Wolchnitsky has something to do with this time?
Who?
Steve Wozniak.
Oh, Wozniak.
Wozniak. Yeah, him.
No, I don't know. He might have some input in it, but Alan Sorkin, the guy who did The Social Network, the movie The Social Network, he's screenwriting this one. Or they're shooting it right now. The movie crew has been spotted at Steve's old, they're actually shooting it at the house where it all happened, like where he started building the actual computers.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, I think, that they're actually able to go back to that house. And
Yeah, that's really cool. Speaking of screenwriting, I probably told you that I optioned rights for Bad Luck Brian, which people can just search. He's an internet meme celebrity, young guy. And so I just got word that our animator that works with us, with OMS Entertainment, is going to do, we're going to do a television pilot that we're going to market to children's networks. So it's going to be, the pilot's going to be, or the series would be half real, half animated. So the pilot's been written, animator's on board, and we actually have the real guy, Bad Luck Brian, the guy who is that character.
Yeah.
His name's Kyle Craven, attached to that, going to be the real actor in it. So it's kind of neat.
Wow.
Just thought about that when you're talking about the screenplay thing.
Sure. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Bad Luck Brian. How'd you hook up with that?
I was really looking for something to option, rights for somebody's life rights, or, you know, a character or a book to adapt to a screenplay.
Oh yeah.
Something like that, because it's a really good way to get the script sold. Like,
okay.
You know, it's a really good, you know, either having an actor attached to a script or having a
real life person
rights to something, something optioned, you know, that's already a bestseller or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anything like that, you know, something that's popular, you have a good chance of selling the script. So I optioned rights, his life rights to write a actual film on a comedy film. So that's what I'm doing. But anyway, I'm just doing this because we want to get something out there earlier. You know, while I'm writing, because it's going to be over the next year or something.
Sure.
I write the script.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's going on with that.
Cool.
So we're talking about Christian music on the show today.
We
and,
have. We are.
Yeah.
We tend to digress.
And
which is that's a great name for a segment of a podcast.
What? We tend to digress.
I'm kidding. It happens all the time, all by itself. We don't need no segment.
So there's different kinds of Christian music as well, like contemporary Christian music. I guess when you term music as gospel music, is it Christian music?
Absolutely.
So
for sure.
I guess another form of it, I suppose, of Christian music as opposed to contemporary Christian, which you would consider, I guess, like newer type music.
Yes.
As opposed to the old gospel,
and
the old, you know,
stuff
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. We'll be back after this.
And we're back. We were just talking about traditional Christian music with the swing low, sweet chariot, as opposed to new Christian music. This here has nothing to do with either of those things. This is a song that is by one of my favorite bands of all time, Soundgarden, with the amazing Chris Cornell at vocals. This is Jesus Christ Pose.
Thank you. All right, a couple interviews on the show this week on You Talking to Me, and as mentioned earlier, the IOG, Detroit rap artist, Christian rap artist, and as well, Dr. D, who is a local artist, local songwriter, with a very interesting story, actually, an older gentleman who got this epiphany to write in church one day, ended up penning a number of excellent Christian, spiritual, religious songs, and as well some contemporary stuff. And without further ado, You Talking to Me on Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. You're listening to You Talk to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. And today I have a couple of Christian music artists as my guests. And Christian music is music that's been written to express either personal or communal belief regarding Christian life and faith. My first guest on the show is a local area religious songwriter, Dr. D. He's got a very interesting story about how he started writing and about how one of his songs was sent to the Pope. Dr. D, welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hello, JD. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to you again.
All right. I'd like to first have you tell listeners how you started writing, because I know you had an epiphany in church one day to start writing, and it's a very unique story. It's really interesting. So tell us about that.
Yeah, it was remarkable the way it did happen. Like 3 years before I started, I was stricken with Parkinson's disease, and things were not the same, and you know, my outlook on life was getting worse all the time. So I started attending the church on Thursday night. They would have a hour of you know, prayer hour, or whatever you want to call it, and I would go and with my wife, and I'd attend. But I would fall asleep all the time, and I couldn't figure out what the heck, you know. Every time I come here, I fall asleep. And I would dream of things about the church and that. And so I started bringing a little notepad with me, and I'd jot down the things that would go through my mind. And so I turned around and I started putting some of that, those little comments in that, to little poems. And the poems led into little paragraphs of music, and it was getting really interesting. And in fact, almost all of my songs has something related with what transpired while I was at the church.
Yeah, that's definitely amazing. And you're a musician as well. You play a number of instruments, but your particular instrument of choice is harmonica. Tell us a little bit about your harmonica and how that kind of transpired for you.
Yeah, harmonica. I really can relate to the harmonica. It's that goes way back. My dad played the harmonica as well, and he was very, very good at it. And I just took it up, and then, you know, it's playing by ear, but yet it's very, very difficult if you do not have the tune for it. And so I started playing with the harmonica, and that really helped me develop my whole outlook on life and with the music and that. And I found it very, very interesting. And, in fact, the one song that I did, it was an incident that was happening outside that really led me to it. They were putting a new roof on a church, and the pounding and everything. And I you know, like this is going through my mind all the time. So then when I saw the roofers making that kind of noise, net, I put the roofer's noise with the pounding of the nails in our Lord's hands and feet, and things just seem to fall together. And that's the way that particular song came out.
It's always interesting what transpires songwriters to write their material. And something else that's rather interesting is that you write exceptionally well for somebody who hasn't really written all that long.
That's true. You know, I'm amazed. In fact, a lot of people are amazed with the quality of my songs. And yet, it seems to be a different genre of what is out there right now. And because anyone who has listened to any of my CDs, all two of them, will indicate that it's different. It's a different type of music, a different type of putting across a message. And that's basically what it is. It's a message.
Yeah, and a fresh and unique message, I would say. And you have a couple CDs available. One is entitled Actions Speak Louder Than Words, which is more contemporary music. And then Francis R. True Shepherd, which is religious music. And something else that happened for you is that the title track, Francis R. True Shepherd, was brought to the Pope for you.
Yes, so there was a coincidence that happened, and this person lives next door to us. She has connections with someone who is active with the Pope, and so she mentioned to us, she says, if you give me a CD, I will see that at least he will be, the Pope that is, will know that something has been done, and this is it here. And so we did that. And, you know, we kind of chuckled a bit because we said, you know, some going to the Pope, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
But in the long run, we're waiting any time to hear from, if not the Pope directly, someone who's in association with him. And when it happens, people will know about it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But it's a little miracle.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And, you know, I'm not holding my breath out for it, but still, I have a feeling, I have enough faith to say that I think it's going to come through.
Yeah, and the fact that the song was even brought to the Pope, I mean, that's something in itself.
Because of the people we know, that through the chain of people that have an association with the Pope, there's one of those people that will deliver it to him one way or another.
All right, and your two CDs, Actions Speak Louder Than Words and Francis Our True Shepherd, are both available by searching Dr. D at online music retailers, Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby. You can search Dr. D for those. And we're going to play a song a little bit later in the show. And I imagine all your songs are quite special to you, but this one is in particular. Tell us a little bit about this one.
My second one that I wrote was Forgive Me, Lord. And I really, really liked that one because it was one of my first ones.
I want to talk a little bit about a new song that I know you have in the works. On your religious CD, you actually have a song called Christmas Time, but you're doing another Christmas song, and you're taking a little bit different approach to this one. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, the one that I'm doing, actually, I thought it would be ready for Christmas, and here it is, the month of April now.
Oh, last Christmas.
And, you know, it's next Christmas we'll be ready. But I need an introduction. That's what I need for it right now. And it's Santa Claus Boogie. Now, everyone knows the boogie. And with Santa Claus, little kids will be doing the Santa Claus Boogie. They will learn how to do the boogie-woogie.
And so that one's the music for that is going to be set to the standard boogie-woogie.
Yes. But with a childish fling to it, whereby the old people will be doing the same thing as the little ones. And like I've already tried it out on some groups, and it really is picking up speed right now. And it hasn't been put out yet.
And you talk about writing this particular song in more of the, you know, the children's fun type theme. Have you thought about kind of branching out? I mean, you cover a couple genres already with, you know, more contemporary music and religious, maybe children's music or anything else?
Oh, yes. I have three or four of them already, either in progress being done or... people will say to me, have you ever thought of this, or have you ever thought of that? And I said, no, that's a good idea. If you give me permission, I will include that. And then I put it down on my little pad, and every so often I go to that pad, and I go through, you know, and say, okay, now this sounds good. And many times people will give me some hints, so to speak. I do not forget them. Somehow that is included in the song.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about your songwriting. How do you get your inspiration? Is it, you know, from everyday things or from something that you might have dreamt about? Do you just sit down when you have time to write and just come up with something?
No, it's all of the above. But mostly I get inspired while I'm sleeping. Many things that I do, many of the songs that I do, they are everyday occurrence, like actions speak louder than words, as an example. That is about this woman who is saying that her husband never thinks of her and so on and so forth. So I brought that along and made it into a song that when you really look at it seriously, actions really do speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. And then the I Do one, that's about people who have marriage problems. And again, if you really look at it carefully, you will see that, hey, you know, maybe this is hitting me and I don't even know it. So you try to capitalize as much as you can on what the people are really saying. So you're saying, is this what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? And a lot of time you hear, yeah, you know, you hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah, when you write things that, you know, like you say, everyday occurrences, these things happen for lots of people and everybody can relate. So I know that you're writing some new material. Can we expect another CD release from Dr. D in the near future?
I am hoping to have a CD by the fall, and definitely I have to have something for Santa Claus. And I'm hoping by the end of October, because once we're in October, November and December's gone by.
Well, you had a song go to the Pope, and now you have a song go to Santa Claus.
Yeah. So, you know, you can't go wrong. You got one that's going with the Pope, and the other one's...
Well, you're sending them out to the top people.
Hey, that's the only way you can get to them.
Well, you found a way.
Yes.
All right, Dr. D, it's been a pleasure having you on the show and sharing your inspiration and your songwriting with us.
Yeah, this is what life is all about, you know. If you have something, share it with others, because if you don't, you're being very selfish. And I try to share with everyone.
Well, we do appreciate that, and again, we appreciate you being on the show today.
It's a great pleasure, JD. Anytime, just give me a call.
All right, and once again, you can pick up Dr. D's CDs at all online music retailers, and those two CDs are Francis, Our True Shepherd, and Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And from Francis, Our True Shepherd, this is Forgive Me, Lord, for All My Faults, and when we come back, Detroit rap artist, The IOG.
Forgive me, Lord, for all my faults. I didn't know I could hurt you so. Things are done and I don't know. Satan wants control of my precious thoughts.
Nails are driven in your hands. Hammers a pounding that I can't stand. Spears are piercing at your side. Makes me realize my mistakes gone by. Surround me with your flowing grace. Prepare me for my eternal place to sing and shout of your good grace. Forgive me, Lord, for all my faults. I didn't know I could hurt you so. Things are done and I don't know. Satan wants control of my precious thoughts. Satan wants control of my precious thoughts. I won't let him control my precious thoughts.
All right, you can search for Dr. D's releases online at any online music retailer. His two CDs available at this time are Francis, Our True Shepherd, as well as a contemporary music CD entitled Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And now I'd like to welcome Detroit Christian rapper, the IOG. Welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hey, how you doing, Big JD? I appreciate you taking time to talk with me today.
My pleasure having you on here this morning. And so, first of all, maybe you could tell us what the IOG stands for.
Well, the IOG, it stands for the instrument of God, symbolizing that I'm just here for God's use and here for God's glory and everything that I do, music and my life in general, just everything.
How did you get started in rap, and when did you change over into being a Christian artist?
Well, I started doing music when I was an early teen. It started off as writing poetry, then me and my cousin Leon, we started putting the poetry on top of beats, and then next thing you know, one of my uncles took me into the studio, and I fell in love with being on the mic and fell in love with putting music together. But I was doing actually like a secular style type of music, more so for people of the world and things of that nature. But when the Lord regenerated me and brought me into the saving knowledge of Christ, that's when my musical content changed. It changed into more Christianity reflected in the music that I do.
Right, and then how do you feel that, like, the difference that a Christian artist can make in the art of rap?
Well, I just feel like, you know, most rap music that you hear talks about the streets, it talks about drugs, sexual content, anything that you could think of that's explicit. But as a Christian artist, like, we represent for the Lord, and we bring a positive light to the situation. We try to bring more relevant messages that have to do with people getting closer to the Lord, and godly messages that show people that we as Christians, we don't live dead and boring lives. We also have fun living for the Lord as well. So, you know, we just talk about reality in our music. We talk about love in our music. We talk about things that's going on in the world. We even throw the word of God inside of the music. That's the core foundation of the music, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We let our lives reflect through our music. We don't actually have to quote scriptures on every song and
sure,
and things of that nature. But we let the light of Christ reflect and the things that we put out.
Well, obviously, Christ is a big influence, but what about artists? You know, other artists that have influenced you maybe through the years? Have they been Christian artists as well, or other artists too?
Well, when I was younger, you know, I was influenced by the big artists that came up in my era. Like, you know, I liked Master P back then, Bone Thugs and Harmony, Tupac, but then, you know, I had to change the type of music I listened to, and I didn't really know what to turn to, and the Lord introduced me to the music of an artist by the name of Flame from St. Louis. And it surprised me because he had hardcore beats, and the way he delivered his message was hardcore, but at the same time, he was talking about God and the Word of God, so that was something that inspired me that, you know, I think I could still do music and represent for God at the same time.
Do you play any instruments as well, or?
No, I don't play any instruments. I wish I could. I just love the way piano players do their thing. You know, that's something that I might be interested in the future because, you know, it's just sweet the way a person with that gift presses those keys and they're able to put music together.
Yeah.
Also, people who know how to play the piano, I think they could put together nice hip-hop tracks, R&B tracks, just off of the strength of knowing how to play the piano. So that's something that I might be interested in, but right now I don't actually play any instrument.
Do you use music to do a lot of your writing, or do you generally write first and then, you know, put that to music later?
Well, sometimes the songs that come to me, sometimes they come off of a beat I hear. Like I cut a beat on and listen to it, and it's actually like the music speaks to my mind of what to say to the music. But then it's sometimes that I have no music completely, and I just feel the spirit of God inspiring me with certain words to put together, and then I have to go to a producer and have them make music around.
Sure, yeah.
The actual lyrics.
Let's talk a little bit about the Detroit rap scene. Are you watching any artists perform or yourself? I know you've done a lot of work in correction facilities, prisons, and things of that nature. What's happening now?
Well, right now, I just made a transition over to a Christian rap label called Under the Radar Records. The founder is Tim Lane and Eric Winfrey, the disciple. Those guys, they were reaching out to me when I left from the establishment that I was previously with. So right now we're just in the process of getting the material together, and they're going to help me get it out. It's a lot of artists that perform in Detroit all the time. Like, I don't get to make it to all the shows, but most of the artists in Detroit have a lot of talent, and a lot of them influenced me in my earlier stages. And right now we just trying to get some good music into the hands of people and just trying to spread our message across to as many people as we possibly can.
Detroit is obviously a long time place for a lot of cool music. I want to get your take on the difference between hip-hop and rap. I know a lot of times it seems, especially for those not as familiar with the genre or the music, they tend to use those terms interchangeably, but I don't, you know, from my understanding, they're not really the same thing. So maybe you can kind of give your take on, you know, what hip hop is, what rap is.
Well, from my understanding, hip hop has more to do with the culture.
Yeah.
And hip artists that's labeled as hip hop artists, they usually are the artists that come with the lyrical content that reaches a person's conscience, and they have a message in behind their music. Like, to me, rap is just like, rappers can put a chorus together on a nice beat and just put some lyrics together where that sound good, but it might not actually be any conscious message in behind it. You know, that's my personal opinion on what I spot as the difference between rap and hip hop. Hip hop is a culture, and to me, hip hop artists that I know as hip hop artists always has some type of positive message to put out, or always had something that they were standing for in their music, and always had something that they were representing. But a lot of rap artists just put together songs. You know, they find a nice beat and find a catchy chorus and just throw some lyrics on it, and boom, there you go.
Yeah, it's a kind of a raw thing.
Yes, sir.
If you can come up with something, like, you know, through your musical career, something that's maybe the most memorable time for you, maybe an award or your music touching someone, a special performance maybe.
Oh, It was one time, you know, I put on a mixtape called the Antibiotic Mixtape, and you know, I just didn't, I passed it out to people and everything, and I just didn't think that anybody was feeling the music, and I didn't think nobody liked it. But then I had a young gentleman that doesn't necessarily listen to Christian rap. He came to me one morning and he just let me know that one of the particular songs on there had touched him, and he said it was his motivation at that time in the morning, and it inspired him. And that was one of the most memorable moments, because like if nobody ever buys a CD from me, if nobody ever plays my music, or large masses of people don't listen to it, if I can run across one person that comes to me and say something that you said helped me get through a time that I was going through in my life, or something you said inspired me to change the way I do things, like, I feel like my mission is accomplished just off of that one person saying something to me. Especially with that particular project, I was like, wow, Lord, the mission was accomplished.
I actually read that about you. If you could change one person, then that's what really matters to you, and that's great. What would you say to a young talent in your area maybe who wants to start a career in rap music?
I would just say, like, because I know, like, right now we're in the building process. You know, I've been doing music for many years, and just still in the building process, you know, so it's just, in order to make it in anything, you have to work extra hard. Like, one of my friends sat down with me, I had a conversation, and he showed me a stack with like 20 CDs in it, and he showed me a stack with like 5 CDs in it, and he said, this stack of 20 is all the people that want to be rap artists. But he said, this stack with this 5 in it is the people that actually work hard at it and put in the hours in it. And these the people out of this 25 that you see here, these 5 is the only ones that might actually do something. So I would just say, like, you know, just work wholeheartedly at it, and just make sure that's what you want to do.
That's the analogy of the music business. So anything else in the works for the IOG, new music and stuff? And tell us a little bit about Boss Man, Inc.
Boss Man, Inc., that's actually a label that I've been in the process of getting started. That stands for Believer, Son, and Savior, International Kingdom. We recently joined over with Under the Radar Records. And I have a new video dropping. Me and my wife put a song together called Closer Than Close. Street Alert Films shot the video for us about 2 weeks ago, so we're going to have that out there.
Great. You know, Who's singing on Closer Than Close with you?
That's my wife, actually. Deidre Powell.
Yeah, that's great. We're actually going to play that song shortly. That's really cool. And that's your new single.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. You know, we about to get that project out with Under the Radar. It's an upcoming project called Predestined for His Glory. And then I'm in a group as well. We are called the Sons of Thunder. My partner is the SOD, Spirit of David. And we about 6 or 7 songs into our project, which is called Flock. Flock is an acronym that stands for Forever Leaning on Christ Knowledge. So we just trying to, you know, get some music out there, just to try to reach some people. You know, like with us, it ain't about trying to reach record sales and popularity and things of that nature. We just try to reach out to the people that the Lord placed in our path to reach out to.
Yeah, that's great. You seem really busy. You're doing a lot about the new single again, Closer Than Close. It's a duet you're doing with your wife, and I guess it must make things a lot easier doing what you do with your partner rather than somebody who's, you know, not involved in it at all.
Oh yeah. My wife is amazing. We only been married actually a month today. And, ever since we been dating and been together, she always enhances. Like, when we got together with that song, we were in the process of working on it. And, she jumped straight in and she, added a few parts to it, and She took the lyrics and delivered them in the way that I didn't expect her to do, and I was just appreciative of her. We also have another song that we did together called Yahweh Got Love. She just, anytime she gets involved with anything with me, she enhances it.
Can you see you doing a full CD possibly with her?
You know, I actually think that could happen. I actually think so. If we were to do that, I think it'd be called Team Foul, though.
All right, cool stuff. And again, where can listeners check out your music? Is Under the Radar Records the best place at this time?
UndertheRadarRecords.com. They actually should have a profile for me up right now.
So they have a profile for you there and some of your music there, and you're going to have your video up there once you release
it? Yes, sir. The video should be edited in another 2 weeks. So that should be up on the site, too. You can also catch me at the IOG1 at Bandcamp.com, the IOG1, Bandcamp.com.
Great stuff. Really appreciate you being on the show today, and now we're going to go listen to Closer Than Close.
I really appreciate you, and thank you for the opportunity, because, you know, like, every opportunity is a blessing, and I appreciate you for that.
Well, it was great having you on. Okay, so I'd like to thank my guests, the IOG, as well as Dr. D, for being on You Talking to Me this week for an Easter Sunday special. And we'll leave you with Closer Than Close by the IOG, and you can search for his music on SoundCloud as well as online music retailers. Again, this is the IOG, Closer Than Close. This is You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Thanks for listening.
This song is dedicated to anyone that has somebody special in their life that they know was sent from God. Yeah.
To receiving your love, and it took a couple months, then your boy here was cuffing. Plus, shit was on my heart, rejecting your love, and I put that shield down and proceeded receiving love then. No frontin', I started visualizing being your husband. Can't get you out my heart, this must mean something. It's gotta be meant to be. The God that resides in me lives inside of you, his glory it shines through you. I grew to the point that it was time for me to do a strategic move to get closer to you. Would've been a fool to pass up a diamond in the rough, trying to put it into words, but that's just not enough.
As I look into your eyes, I begin to realize how much I wanna be closer than close to you. And as you begin to see something deep within me, it makes you wanna be closer than close to me.
When I looked into your eyes, I could visualize through thick and thin, you always being by my side. I saw virtue deep within that's coming forth. I saw the word of God sharper than a two-edged sword. I seen loyalty, compassion, and art and love. I seen a passion for Christ, you love the God of love. You ran away from your past, never to look back. I looked away from your eyes and saw that you were stacked like Lego, thick like Prego. Now it's time to get to what the Hebrew means by no. Let's go to higher levels, let's go to somewhere special. Let's go to new beginnings. In Christ, there is no limit.
We can go where you wanna go.
We can go where you wanna go.
We can be where you wanna be.
And we can be where you wanna be.
You're everything to me.
Baby, you everything to me.
You mean the world to me.
You know you mean the world to me.
We can go where you wanna go.
We can go where you wanna go.
We can be where you wanna be.
And we can be where you wanna be.
You're everything to me.
Baby, you everything to me.
You mean the world to me.
Baby, you mean the world to me. Me. Baby, you mean the world to me. Me. Baby, you mean the world to me. Me. Baby, you mean the world to me, me. D, what we gon' be?
I'll be, you'll be, we'll be closer than close.
Closer than close.
Me, you, me, we'll be closer than
baby,
close.
Baby, closer than close.
I'll be, you'll be, we'll be closer than
honey,
close.
Honey, closer than close.
Me, you, me, we'll be closer than close.
Closer than close.
Thank you.
So we're talking about Christian music on the show, and we talked a little bit about related music, which, you know, things like spiritual music and whatnot.
What about choir music? That could be considered.
And choir music, absolutely. Yeah. But, yeah, when you get into that, obviously not all choir music, but like church music.
Church music,
you know,
yeah.
Church.
My parents were in the choir, and they made an album, actually. I wish I could.
What?
Yeah, they made the St. Simon, St. Jude Choir.
Made a record.
They made a record back in the day.
Of a whole bunch of songs?
Yeah.
And your parents are singing on it?
Yes.
Both of them?
Yes.
Would you have the record?
I bet you I can find a copy of it somewhere.
Wow.
Could you digitize it for me?
Absolutely. Yeah, I get that.
All right.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, somebody in Belver's got it. Because everybody bought them, right? Because it was to raise money for the church.
And I'm sure it's in good shape.
Yeah, it's probably not overplayed, let's put
that's
it that
pretty
way.
Neat, man. Yeah,
actually, it sounded great. But every time I heard it, it was like, wow, that's really good.
Well, see, if you would have got that, we could have played a song on the show, too.
And the choir director of that deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was... Never mind. I'm not going to defame anybody here now.
If you, depending on how soon you can get a copy, if you can get something, like, you can do it right away and put it in the show. Be sweet to play one of the songs there. Lippo's parents on it. That's something. It's cool.
Yeah, sir.
Spirituals are religious, generally Christian songs that were created by enslaved African people in the United States. Spirituals were originally an oral tradition that imparted Christian values while also describing the hardships of slavery. So also termed Negro spirituals.
Yep.
Which is, I never really put that together as much as just thinking spiritual music being, you know, Christian related.
Sure.
As well, but that's pretty interesting.
And a lot of music came from that, like blues for one thing.
And there's the Sing Low Sweet Chariot.
Yeah.
That must have come from all.
Came from some cotton field somewhere.
Days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we've been through a lot of crazy things in this world. Well, I mean, slavery and all that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Holocaust, the whole deal. Yeah, it's all.
Holocaust? That didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. That's what they say.
Did we go to the moon?
Exactly.
New Age music.
What about it? We're talking about Christian music here today, Big JD.
Right, but it gets kind of lumped into that, like, inspirational music and stuff. You know what I mean? We're inspirational. That's kind of another genre, so to speak, that
it can touch your spiritual.
Are we going to eat after this?
What, Mama Burger?
You got time for that? I'm famished.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about burgers.
Right.
Okay. New Age music. So New Age music is a genre of music intended to create artistic inspiration, relaxation, and optimism.
Yeah. So that can touch your spiritual sensibilities and be construed as Christian in a way, especially if you're of that persuasion.
Often used by listeners for yoga, massage, meditation, and reading. Do you ever listen to music when you read?
Can't do it.
No?
Nope. I have to have quiet when I'm reading.
Are there certain things that you do use music for that you, you know, that you prefer to have music on and sometimes don't?
Yeah. That's a given.
So.
and when I go for walks, I like to have some tunes on if I can.
Right, right. Okay.
Or listen
that's kind
to
of when you're doing nothing. But I mean, like reading, cooking, maybe. You
well,
know,
cooking for sure. Always got to have some music on.
You always
on.
Have music on.
In my house, always.
I don't. Very rarely do I have music on.
I don't have
all.
A TV, so I don't have the TV on. And I was just talking about this with somebody else, having the TV on in the background, just
right.
to have the TV on in the background. People
right.
feel comfortable in that environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Just it's like it's company or something.
Yeah. So yeah. that's the way I look at music. I always have music on. I'm taking full advantage of my Spotify account.
There's lots of times when I, or especially if like I, you know, I just got up or something, or I just like don't feel so good and go lay down or whatever at night all the time. Like, you know, I'll have headphones on
listening to
music, but I mean,
AM 800,
but normally what?
AM 800. You're not listening to Coast to Coast.
Oh yeah. I listen to that at night and stuff. But yeah, music on, I don't know. Have you ever rarely heard music on here when you've come here? There's never music on really.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't listen to music when I'm writing or reading or doing anything
like or working
just, yeah or working yeah
because there's a lot of working environments
where there's music
where there's
but
music.
If I go somewhere like Starbucks
yeah.
because I want to do some work and or write there or do things like I do that
sure
and they have the music on it's not low
no
and doesn't bother me at all.
It's funny how we can go into that environment and we can just,
I can't do it here.
Just tune it out just to the right distance and it's like, okay, I can focus now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in that situation. It's interesting how us humans adapt to
I'm going to say a lot of times I don't necessarily know what the music is they have there.
Find out. Just fire up the Starbucks app and it tells you what's playing.
I'll use Shazam or something even, but
but
that's probably part of the reason why it doesn't really bother me there because it is background music. It's not, you know, if I was here and had music on, it'd be something I know or something I like and whatever, you know.
You'll be getting into it more.
Start to pay more attention to it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's probably part of the reason, but yeah.
You know that Shazam's built into the latest version of the operating system on your iPhone, right?
I think I recall that with the iOS 8 thing, but
yep.
Yeah, I never really thought
just
about it.
Just push and say either what's this song or listen to this song or something. I forget exactly.
Siri?
Yeah, just tell Siri what is the name of this song, and she'll tell you. She's listening, just like Pro Tools is listening to us even when we're not recording.
Okay. So what if you don't have Shazam on there?
No, doesn't matter. It's built in.
So you don't even need the Shazam app anymore.
You don't need the, exactly.
What's got more functionality?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can get the lyrics and all that stuff. Go to the YouTube video.
New Age includes both electronic forms, frequently relying on sustained synth pads or long sequencer-based runs, and acoustic forms. So, you know, mellow stuff and things that you can kind of just, you know, float away on.
Float away with didgeridoo or something.
Didgeridoo. What's that?
That's a big, long instrument that's made out of some kind of organic matter, and they dry it out and they blow into it.
You know what's neat is that...
You never heard of a didgeridoo, seriously?
Yeah, it sounds familiar, but no, I don't really know.
Okay.
Save that for the musical instrument show, Rare Instruments. What was I going to say? Some clients of mine that I filmed a number of music videos for, one of the members plays a electric saxophone, I guess. Is what it really is or something. Okay. It's a multi-instrument thing. Like, you know, but it looks, it's a, just a long black, you know, it's not in the shape of a saxophone or anything, but it's, you know, a MIDI instrument or something and it just plays everything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it for all kinds of things, but, that's a crazy instrument.
Yep.
It'd be neat to have a bunch of those so we can try them all out.
Try
is there anywhere to go and all those different things.
Toronto.
Really?
Sure.
Music store with all those weird things in them?
Yeah. Yep.
Too many people have had their lips on them, though.
You get one of those tissue papers.
Do you get them?
It's like a little
wax
sleeve.
Lips. Oh.
You want
is there
some wax
a store
lips?
Around that has all that stuff? That'd be sweet, man. I'm telling you, if we're going for burgers, we're getting wax lips on the way. The new wax lipos. Okay, so.
Queso.
Coming up next, The Rain.
Oh, The Rain. One of my favorite Christian songs from the band that went in and out of Christian rock. That's how they started. Their name is Striper, and they were big hair when they first started. Like, it was amazing.
Big hair, did you say?
Big hair, yeah. They were a big hair band, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the guitar players were absolute virtuosos. Like, they could play amazingly fast runs, and the singer could sing operatic highs like crazy. And this is one really good example of that. And it's a tune that I would... When I played it on my car stereo, I would just crank the heck out of it. And I suggest you do the same thing. This is The Rain from Striper.
kind of Ian Gillan-ish there at the end.
Probably, yeah, I'm sure he was.
Oh, it's high like that. It sounded like one of those Gillan things.
Yep.
That was really cool listening to the high screams that Roth was doing without all the music for...
I
think I heard that a long time ago, too, but somebody had posted it recently. It was pretty cool. Brian from Halloween actually posted it a couple days ago.
Yeah, I heard that. But you didn't hear, you didn't see the Jimmy Fallon stuff.
No, I didn't see that, no.
I suggest you go to
YouTube.
Yeah, I
got to check that out.
It's laughable.
We're going to wrap things up.
Wrap it up, baby!
And hope you enjoyed our Easter Sunday special here on Big JD and Lipo in the Morning. And I'd like to thank my You Talking to Me guests this week, the IOG, and as well Dr. D. I hope everybody has a wonderful Easter and happy Passover.
Happy Easter. Happy Good Friday. Oh, no.
Happy
this
Easter
is
and Good Friday to you.
Thank you. Fish is on its way.
Yeah. Ooh, fish and chips.
Fish and chips. Yeah, awesome. So what are we going to do next week?
What are we doing next week? It's not children's music now because we just did a genre show, right? So we're going to skip that for a while. So what do you want to do?
Well, you had mentioned, you were talking about...
Yeah, did you get that? What I was talking about?
Yeah, yeah, I understand. And there's, what do you call that? I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, I don't know what you call that. What was it again? I don't remember. Oh, it was... music you hear in everyday things, like chimes on somebody's porch, tapping on your legs, you know, the drum thing, kind of, you know, making your own music, so to speak, humming, birds.
Music without instruments.
Yeah. Some people may find the sound of the waves on the beach musical.
Well, that goes back to the what you're calling the New Age music again. There's some of that.
It does, sort of, yeah. Well, that is a genre then, though, but... I don't know, unless there's something else we can do next week.
You hadn't mentioned, so you said The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Which is a movie that's got tons of crazy tunes in it.
But I only mentioned, you said give it a name, didn't you? About what I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I thought of.
And as soon as you said The Sound of Music, which is probably one of my favorite movies.
So do you want to do musicals?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
What was that one that was just recent? Mamma Mia? That was a recent film with Meryl Streep. Throat. Yes.
Meryl Streep, nice.
Meryl Streep, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Longtime nominee, non-winner. I think she just won something recently, didn't she? Win a Grammy, Emmy?
It would be an Oscar, wouldn't it?
Oscar?
Yeah, she's a movie as actress.
That's right, that's right.
So I'm thinking it's an Oscar, but I don't know if she won or not. I'm not up on those kind of things. Even though I did watch last year's Oscars, fast-forwarded it. Like I went through all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Fast-forwarded through the crap. And there was a bunch of crap.
So, yeah, do you want to do musicals?
Because
there's many from many
just
years.
Movies, though.
Just movies, right.
Yeah. Yep.
Phantom of the Opera? Is that a movie?
No.
Okay.
We're not going to do those kind
of movies. Well, it is a movie. But did they sing in it? No, not the real movie.
What? Phantom of the Opera was a movie?
Well, sure. Like an old silent, I want to say, even.
Oh, is that right? We'll talk about it
so
next
musicals,
week.
Yeah. Films, movies, Fiddler on the Roof.
Fiddler on the Roof, Sound of Music.
And we're going to play the songs from some of the movies.
Oh, yeah. There's some really good, what am I thinking? Tommy was made into a movie. But that was also Broadway. A lot of Broadway shows were turned into movie musicals.
My feet are saying goodbye.
Aren't they?
Goodbye.
Mine, too.
You know that song?
No.
Sound of Music. My feet are saying goodbye. And they walk
away. Vita Zane, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Vita Zane, goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the lyrics to that. Sorry, but another great tune from another great movie. But anyway, we're going to... what are you leaving us with here, Big JD?
We're going to leave everybody with Fix It, Jesus by the one and only Ruben Studdard.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. Happy Easter. See you later.
Bye-bye.
join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe.